Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Bill Gray, the Deputy Commissioner of Systems at the Social Security Administration. And joining us in our conversation is Greg Grieben.
The paperless disability folder stores a wealth of data in various formats. How do you ensure interoperability between these systems?
Well, Greg, that's a real task for us. We have a vast network of various systems, and trying to make sure that they all work together well with the changes that are coming on board is a real challenge. We have at Social Security a very defined process. We have an architectural review board, which is composed of experts, systems experts in the agency. And any new system that's going to be implemented has to go through the architectural review board, and people look at the design of it and make sure that it will fit in before it's even built, that it'll fit in with our architecture. We also do a lot of testing of systems that as they're going through the development cycles to make sure they really do work well and that they interoperate. With the paperless disability system, though, the challenge was even greater, and we were really fortunate. IBM has been a terrific partner in this process. They opened up their labs in California at Santa Teresa to really helping us look at how we could architect this, because it was a real challenge for us to, with the volumes of data that we expected to come in, to make sure that they worked in our environment. They opened up their labs, they worked with us, they helped us with the design. It was a real benefit to us, and they helped us with the testing at every step of the way as we've gone through. In addition to that, in Social Security itself, we knew from the beginning, and I told you I had asked the commissioner for additional resources, we knew from the beginning that many of those resources, as a matter of fact, about $20 million, needed to be spent on building improved testing labs at Social Security so that as we had this new process come through, we could make sure that we could iron out the bugs and test these things thoroughly before any user actually used it in production. Those things have worked real well for us. The systems that we fielded have been stable, they've been available, and performance has been very good. So I think that this is a real formula for success at Social Security.
As you've taken us through the process, I've heard you describe interactions with other agencies, medical professionals, disability claim examiners, and probably some others I don't quite know. What challenges are presented when you exchange information between these different users, and how do you overcome them?
Well, first of all, you know, every user, medical professional, another federal agent, they all have their own IT environment, and you have to be able to exchange information using the technologies that they have that they're going to be sending it to you with. And so the first thing that you have to do is make sure that if you're asking for information, you're giving them an easy way to interact with you. And so we focus a lot of attention on providing different options to people to get information to us so that they really can do it in a way that's most conducive to the business that they have. We also have to ensure that privacy and security is protected throughout this. Social Security focuses an enormous amount of attention, and we are one of the highest, if not the highest, rated government agency in security and in privacy. And that's because we focus so much attention on it and make sure that as people send us information, that no one else could possibly get to that information as it comes through that's not authorized to do that. We also have with the disability modernization, we had a particular challenge because as you know, there was new regulations that were being sent out to the medical community, the Health Insurance Portability Act, and a lot of the medical community didn't quite know how that applied to them, and they didn't know what that would mean to them as they started to exchange information with Social Security electronically. And so one of the things that the Commissioner of Social Security did was to start to have regular meetings with the professional associations that represent the medical community, American Medical Association, Psychiatric Association, dozens of these kinds of professional organizations. And we invited the people who were in charge of the Health Insurance Portability Act regulations to come and talk about where Social Security was going and what that meant to the medical community. And I think by doing that, we've been able to ease a lot of the concerns and fears that people had in doing business with us. So it's been a real effort, but we've undertaken it, and I think we're being real successful.
Disability program modernization marks a major transformation in the way SSA has operated over the last 70 years. You've talked a great deal about the technology challenges. What additional steps are being taken to ensure employees have the proper infrastructure, training, motivation, et cetera, to make this program a success?
You know, that's really the biggest challenge we face. Of all of this, the technology, all of this, the real challenge is the business change that were taking place. People have worked and used a paper folder for 70 years in this agency. And for 7 months, we've asked people to start using an electronic folder and to try to get used to working in that environment. And techniques that people used to paperclip documents, to put sticky notes on them, or annotate certain things on a paper in a paper folder, they need to know how to translate those skills into an electronic folder. So we've spent a lot of time, first of all, developing documentation and training. To focus on that. Then we test the training, and as people give us feedback, we improve it. All of the systems that we use are piloted before they ever are released into a wider audience in a limited environment. We just last week in Chicago had a nationwide conference where we brought people from all the states together. And the people who had been using the electronic folder talked about their experiences, their best practices, lessons learned, to share with people who'd be seeing this coming down the road over the next few months. There's a number of things that we do to try to get the user community comfortable in working in this electronic environment.
So what have you seen to date? Are there measurable successes? Have you seen improved service delivery, cost savings? What have you noticed?
We have. It's early. It's still early in the process. But just for example, in 2003, as a result of some of the early initiatives that took place, average processing time went down 7 days. So we were 7 days faster in processing the average claim. We are getting a lot of information now electronically in the states, directly from the medical vendors. And in one of our states, in Mississippi, where they put a particular emphasis on this, and about 40% of their medical evidence is coming in directly and electronically from the medical community, their average time to receive medical evidence dropped from 22 days in January to 14 days in June. Significant time if you're trying to make a medical decision. So we're seeing some of the early successes that we expected to see, and I think we're right on target with where we need to go.
You've talked about a large-scale transformation project. Could you take us through some of the management challenges? You talked about needing more resources, and you got those. I understand that. But take us through some of the people issues.
I think some of the people issues were really in the transformation. It's trying to, first of all, make sure there was a lot of fear when they heard about a new system would be coming. When we announced that in 22 months we were going to build this infrastructure, the first people issue you faced was skepticism and fear that we would build something that wouldn't meet their needs. One of the things that we needed to focus on was that we wouldn't build this in a vacuum, that we needed to bring the user community in, and we were building the system for them. None of us would ever use it. It would be the people out there. And so we needed to have them at the table with us every step of the way as we designed and built these systems. And so we did. We had an enormous amount of people coming in from across the country. We did a lot of piloting of these new systems before we ever released them. Then what happened is that we found that as we put this out, we'd go and do training for folks, right? And they'd be excited and start to use these new systems, but about a month or so down the road, people would still be a little bit sketchy. You know, they would have learned all the things in the pilot, but that's a lot of information to give somebody up front in the training. So what we found is that you had to go back, and you had to, sit down with people again, and people would tell you, well, I'm frustrated because I can't do this. They wouldn't necessarily realize that you could do this. They just hadn't necessarily picked it up in the training. So a lot of this was going back and giving people that next level of skill so that they were more adept at using the electronic folder. And then we've worked a lot internally in Social Security and with IBM that as users made recommendations for how we could make improvements, to go about getting those improvements made quickly. And I think that had a real impact on morale, that people could see that they'd make a suggestion and a few weeks later that suggestion would be implemented and it would improve the process.
How about the people who actually worked on the project, perhaps mostly from your team? I noticed the following dilemma, which is the best performers have day jobs. An interesting new project comes along, and you're stuck in a dilemma. You'd like to have the best performers to do this, but they also have another job. How did you staff this project?
Well, the first thing that we did was we had gone through a reorganization in systems when I took over in 2002. The first thing that I did was reorganize systems so that previously, We had an organization that did software development. We had an organization that wrote requirements. We had an organization that built management information and various other organizations. And the problem was that if you wanted to build a new system, you had to go through all these organizations, and the organization that had the fewest resources was the one that you were going to be stuck with. That was where you were going to be targeted to. So we decided instead to organize that around a project. If you were going to build disability programs, all of those resources would be put in one organization. And that's what we did. So that helped. That helped get the people together that would be building the different initiatives. If you're building web-based applications, that was in one organization. Building disability applications, it was in a different organization. If you're building retirement applications, it was in a different organization. The next thing we did was we knew we had to increase the staff for the people that would be building these disability applications. So we did a posting and asked people to volunteer to come over. And we got lots of people that volunteered, and we tried to accommodate them, moving them on into these organizations. And in many cases, we backfilled behind them. And so you hired new people to come in behind them. And that transition had to be managed carefully for the reasons that you mentioned before, Paul, that, you know, you just can't denude organizations that have other responsibilities. But I think that really what you started to see is that even within systems, within our organization, people thought this challenge of building something in 22 months, they're skeptical of it. This was a huge challenge. But as you had success after success, people could see this coming together. You had more and more morale building, more and more motivation, and people really, really pleased with the success they'd had.
It's a fascinating point, especially about the people. How will SSA continue to transform and modernize as we look out to the future? We'll ask Bill Gray of the Social Security Administration to give us his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.